Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and what's up, global community? It's Carol Otis, your host for this segment of WFYT Radio. I'd like to first say good morning, good afternoon, and perhaps good evening, depending upon where you are in the world. And thanks for tuning in with us here at WFYT Blog Talk Radio, 33 million listeners and growing worldwide. We're broadcasting live this morning from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the home of politics, power plays, and where whatever you can imagine possible goes on. And more recently, we've become known as the bailout capital. Here at WFYT Blog Talk Radio, we like to read up to keep our listeners up to date on the latest in business trends, home-based business opportunities, the health and wellness industries, as well as an assorted array of topics here and abroad. So listeners, please sit back, relax, and take in what our special guest is sharing during this segment. This morning we have with us the intuitive and innovative mind of Richard Condor, licensed massage therapist and certified Rolfter of Garnier, New York.
Good morning.
Hi, Richard. Are you on the line?
I'm on the line.
Great. How are you?
I just want to clarify, my last name is Condon with an N.
Condon.
Yes.
I apologize. Let me correct that. Richard Condon. How are you this fabulous and cold Saturday morning?
I'm well. I got a lot of snow shoveling ahead of me, though.
You did work those muscles, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to get a good workout today.
Thank you so much for taking time to be here with us today. Let's get started, Richard, if you don't mind. Would you share some things about yourself, Richard Condon, the person, so that we may get to know you more personally?
Certainly. Well, I'm 44 years old. I have three children. I live in Gardner, New York, which is pretty much midway between New York City and Albany. And I grew up in New York City. I have a BA in creative writing from SUNY New Paltz. And I got into body work, it seemed haphazardly, really. I was moving furniture. I was pretty much just out of college. And it was just a suggestion from a friend, and I started out as a massage therapist. When she suggested I go to massage school, it just sounded like the right thing to do. So I had studied anatomy in college just because it interested me. And that is a big part of body work, is just understanding the human body. So I had that as an advantage. I had that some of that knowledge already. So I got into body work. I went to the Swedish Institute of Massage. I graduated in 1991. And about 10 years later, I became a Rolfter. Some of my other hobbies are I like to play chess. I'm a triathlete. Occasionally write poetry.
Wow. Seems like that's a total package there, all-around type of guy. Richard, could you tell us a little bit about your business?
Sure. Well, Rolfing, where to start? Rolfing is really quite different than other forms of body work. There are an awful lot of types of body work out there, and I feel like Rolfing is particularly distinct. And there's several reasons for this. One is the rather unique idea that gravity, the force of gravity, can act as a healing agent for the human body if the body is organized properly to receive the energy of gravity. Otherwise, the energy of gravity pulls on people, creates strain and dysfunction. But if utilized properly, it actually helps support the body. Or that's one of the principal tenets of Rolfing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like fire is a great tool if it's used properly, but if your house is on fire, it's not a good thing. So you could say that what goes up must come down and what goes down must come up. The force of gravity pulling down can help support the body the same way that, say, the you know, I don't know the proper term for this, but if you set up a tent, you have to have certain tensional poles. That, you know, you stake the poles down in the ground,
mm-hmm.
and you need tension on those poles to hold the center pole firmly erect. Without the tension pulling down, the center pole of the tent will fall over. It's
correct.
The downward pull that holds that steady. That's the basic idea of how Rolfers look at the human body, that gravity, in the same way as those tensional forces hold the center pole up, gravity can hold the body up, so that way the muscles don't have to hold the body up. And the tension in the case of the body is contained largely in the connective tissue or fascia of the body, and that's what Rolfers work with, the fascia. So Rolfing is a little bit unique in that it really is, and this is maybe the hardest thing to understand, it's a holistic paradigm. It looks at the entirety of the body. Now, understandably, when someone comes in, what drives most people into my office is some type of pain, discomfort.
Okay.
Something doesn't feel right in their body. Now, of course, that's where they want me to work. Now, for instance, just last night, I had a client who had lower back discomfort. It seemed like a sacroiliac problem. That is their, you know, the articulation between their pelvis and their sacrum bone, the sacrum being that triangular bone in the back. I love anatomy. That's another, if you call it a hobby, I pore through anatomy texts.
Okay.
I love studying biomechanics. I'm a biomechanic geek, as it were. So I struggle with this too. You know, everyone wants you to work where the discomfort is. However, we were doing a Rolfing 10 series, which I'll talk about in a little bit.
Okay.
So what was on the plate for that session was what's called the lateral line, which is basically you look at the client and you look at the outside of their body from, the say, the ankle bone up the outside of the leg and up through the side of the ribs, the neck. You're looking at both sides and seeing if one side is shorter, if it looks more compressed. In her case, what really interested me was when she breathed, there was a particular area where her ribs didn't move, or at least moved much less than the surrounding area. And that's where I worked. Now, in the back of my head, I'm thinking I'm going to see if I can tweak her sacroiliac joint, you know, toward the end of the session. However, by freeing up all the restrictions that were holding her ribs there, all her lower back discomfort went away. So it really wasn't so much a mechanical issue at the sacroiliac joint. It was more a holistic issue. There was very tight connective tissue over her ribs there. It was pulling on her low back. You could think of it almost like this. If you pulled your shirt, if you tucked your shirt down into your pants really tightly and then tried to move your arm up over your head, the fabric of the shirt would pull on that. Now, that might feel like pain in the shoulder or something in the shoulder, but what you'd have to do is get more length where you tucked your shirt in tightly or where you were holding it down. And that's kind of the way Rolfing works.
Interesting, Top. That's an interesting form of body work there. Richard, could you tell us what's the major difference between Rolfing and massage and other?
There's really several major differences.
Okay.
Now, I worked as a massage therapist for 10 years before I became a Rolfer.
Okay.
When I started out doing massage, what I wanted to do was to make my client feel as relaxed as I could. And that's really all I was interested in. What strokes felt the best? But after a year or so of doing that, I found it got very boring.
Okay.
For me. In that there was no intellectual engagement in what I was doing. it was just tactile. I mean, I was basically just working with, you know, with my hands, and that I was trying to make the best contact I could with the person's body. I was palpating how the tissue was changing. But there was no intellectual component, really. And people would come in, and I'd notice that they were asymmetrical. They'd lie down on the table, one shoulder would be higher than the other one. And I'd start to think, well, what muscles would be short to produce this, this asymmetry? And that's what got me interested in Rolfing, is I knew that Rolfing purported to make, I'm going to say, semi-permanent changes in the person's body. I say semi-permanent because the reason you can change someone's body is because the connective tissue, the muscles, everything is really elastic. Even the bones will change their structure over time.
Mm.
Pretty much everything in the body is an elastic medium. It's just a matter of how elastic. You know, some are more elastic than others. The fascia is pretty elastic. So, you know, it's only semi-permanent because habits, accidents, traumas, they'll change it back again. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought for a moment. So, that said, the major difference is that with massage, you're mainly concerned with muscles. I mean, that's what we studied in massage school, anatomy and muscles. At some point, I could have told you the origin, insertion, action of just about every single muscle in the body. I've forgotten a few of those, I have to admit. But my thinking as a Rolfer is much more global. So, and I'm not thinking of muscles per se. I'm thinking of planes of fascia or how muscles relate to other muscles.
Okay.
Not just as isolated units, because they don't function that way in reality. And the what you have to understand is the connective tissue, which includes ligaments and tendons, they're made of connective tissue. So when a muscle contracts, that action pulls on the whole bed, the whole fabric of the connective tissue system. And that's where, at least from my perspective, things changed a lot becoming a Rolfer, as I started to think in much longer lines of transmission. Meaning if one muscle contracts, I'm thinking about how that affects a whole line of transmission through the fascial network. So Rolfers tend to have a much broader scope when they look at somebody than massage therapists. Also, Rolfers always start a session watching a client walk, maybe have them breathe, make certain arm movements, knee bends, whatever movements the Rolfer feels will give them the information they need.
Okay.
But Rolfers strategize before a session. You know, I mean, massage therapists and Rolfers will listen to whatever the client has to say about what their particular discomforts are or pains are. But Rolfers then watch the person walk and look at them in gravity. And with that idea of how is their body organized in gravity, they'll decide what they're going to start with that session. And I've never known a massage therapist that did that. I'm not saying none of them do, but it's certainly not a common practice in massage. And that's one of the main differences. Also, a massage uses oil or some kind of lubricant because you're trying to glide over the skin. And Rolfing doesn't. Sometimes, I mean, certain Rolfers will, but most Rolfers use no lubricant whatsoever. With a particularly hirsute client, you might use some cocoa butter or something so that it's not pulling their hair so much.
Okay.
But basically, you want contact with the skin. And the strokes you're using are much slower. One of the main strokes for massage is what's called effleurage, which is a long gliding stroke. It's what most people associate with massage.
Mm-hmm.
Effleurage and what's also called petrissage, where you're kind of lifting or kneading.
Right.
Those kinds of strokes. You don't really do that in Rolfing.
So Rolfing is a more in-depth and intense form of body work.
I think intense is an apt word.
Okay. Richard, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to also say that classically, rolfing is done as a 10 series. You can apply it in what rolfers called fix-it rolfing, where someone might just come in, they don't want to do 10 sessions, they just want me to work with their neck or their shoulder, whatever hurts. And then it might be one, two sessions, what have you. But classically, it's done as a 10 series, which is really when the holistic aspect of rolfing can come into play. And with a 10 series, each session has a particular lens that you look at the body from. For example, the first session is concerned with breathing. And it's not as though the other sessions aren't, but the first session, the real focus is creating as much freedom for the breath to move through the body as possible. And so you're trying to remove whatever major barriers there are. And it's certainly not a cookie-cutter kind of event because you're really looking at that individual and trying to figure out what their restriction is. It might actually be in the respiratory diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
It might have more to do with their pelvis. It might be more in their ribs. You know, in that sense, it's very individual, but the focus is always going to be what, for this person, is going to give them more ease of breath, more freedom of breath. And then each session has a specific lens that you're working from. And that was Ida Rolf's concept. She's the founder of Rolfing.
Ida Rolf. Okay. And how long has the Rolfing been around?
Well, it started with Ida Rolf. I'm not sure when you'd call what she was doing. Well, she never called it rolfing, just for the record. She called it structural integration.
Okay.
At a certain point, when she had developed this, and started teaching it, her students called it rolfing. And then that's what stuck.
Okay.
But she called it structural integration.
Okay. And Richard, what might a typical session look like with rolfing?
Well, it would start with the rolfer talking with the client and looking at their body and gravity, watching how they walk, breathe, move. Then they would lie down on the table, and the difference then is what I said before: the rolfer won't use any oil or lubricant, and the strokes tend to be a lot slower. If it's a 10 series, each session is, as I said, going to be organized through a particular lens. So there's going to be a goal or an aim for each of the 10 series. Regardless, there'll be a goal or an aim, but it's predictable if it's a 10 series. I mean, every rolfer is going to look for a certain type of change with each of the 10 sessions. It tends to be a lot more interactive. And again, each rolfer practices somewhat differently, but rolfers tend to call for a lot more movement. For instance, as I'm trying to free up the fascia, I'm also trying to integrate those changes into the nervous system. I want not only to create the freedom for more ease of movement, I want, in some cases, the nervous system to start to move the part differently. I want, for instance, as an example, in the shoulder, I don't want the pec major, the big muscle on the front of the chest wall, to initiate a motion like internal rotation, where if you were standing with your palm facing forward, you would turn your palm in toward your side. That's internal rotation of the humerus, or the arm bone. There's other muscles that should initiate it, but it's not unusual. The pec major takes over, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't guide the head of the humerus accurately in the shoulder joint because it's just not engineered to do that. There's smaller muscles, the rotator cuff muscles, for instance, that attach much closer to the axis of rotation and can create a much more proper movement than the pec major can. So I might be trying to lengthen the pec major, but at the same time, I'm trying to cue the nervous system to engage different muscles to make that movement that the pec major is making. So it's part and parcel. The pec major is short and it's dominant. I'm trying to get the PEC major to work properly and trying to key up the activity in the rotator cuff muscles, which are the correct muscles to be initiating that movement. So that's one difference that you'll see, is that generally Rolfers will not only be working with the fascia, but they'll be calling for movement and trying to integrate their changes into the nervous system. And that's one reason why it can last, because a big component of Rolfing is client education. So you're trying to educate them on an intellectual level, explaining things like proper sitting mechanics, and even breathing. We all breathe, but it doesn't mean we do it to the best possible way. A lot of people breathe into their chest or exclude their chest and just breathe into their belly. There are various ways of breathing that really don't utilize the entire breathing mechanism. So, you know, Rolfers are big on education, both on the subconscious level, just trying to make changes in the nervous system so that the body moves differently, and that helps the changes stay. If going back to the initial example, if I can cue those rotator cuff muscles to initiate internal rotation and I get more length in the pec major, that length will stay. If I don't train those rotator cuff muscles, as soon as the person leaves my office, their pec is going to be working in the same way. It'll shorten up again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the ways that Rolfers work to create lasting changes. They'll educate the clients and train the nervous system so that the changes that they got in the session remain there.
Okay. Listeners, at this time, I'd like to thank you for staying tuned in with us here at WFYT Blog Talk Radio, 33 million listeners, worldwide and growing. Richard, with the many listeners that tune in and reach out to us, there may be someone that's listening in this morning or logged in that has a need for your service. Would you share with the listening audience the name of your practice, where you're located, and your contact information?
Certainly. My practice is called Balance, Rolfing, and Massage. You can find me on the web at www.nybalance.com, or you can call 845-255-3584 or email me at nyrolfer, nyrolfer, at juno.com. Also, if you're not in my area, you can always find a Rolfer by going to www.rolf.org, which is the website for the Rolf Institute, and click on Find a Rolfer, and you can find a Rolfer in your area.
Oh, great, great. There you are, listeners. Richard has just shared all of his contact information with us and also shared a resource for us all that's not in his area, if we're in need of the services that he provides. Richard, what might cause one to seek out Rolfing?
Well, Rolfing is an excellent way to address long-standing chronic problems. Maybe things that acupuncture, chiropractic, massage were not able to quite get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and again, I think it goes back to the holistic root of the Rolfing paradigm, that it really is the case that if the legs are organized, meaning that from, you know, but when a Rolfer says organized, what they mean is that gravity is flowing properly through the legs.
Okay.
So you get the legs, the feet organized, it does wonders for pains in the back, the neck. It can work the other way around, too. But the fact is that our bodies are connected, and you can't take a part as being isolated or separate from the rest of the body. So Rolfing seems to do very well for long-standing chronic conditions, because very few modalities really work the body in the holistic way that Rolfing does.
Okay. Intriguing. What are the major goals and objectives of Rolfing?
Well, again, I'd say the major goal in the most general way is to get the body organized in gravity. And a second major goal is to educate the client in such a way that they can go about their day without creating undue strain on their body. Now,
okay.
Most of us have jobs that we sit for hours on end.
Mm-hmm.
If you're spending hours on end and you're sitting improperly, that's hours on end that you're putting unnecessary strain on your body. So client education might, you know, with most clients, it might be very concerned with sitting, which most people don't do optimally. And part of that is most chairs are very poorly designed for people to sit in. One thing, if you're listening right now, there's some simple things that can really help. If you feel right under the folds of your buttocks, there's two bones there. Technically, the ischial tuberosities.
Okay.
Some people just call them your sits bones.
I'm feeling as you're speaking.
Okay. You want to be on those bones when you're sitting. Now, most people slouch a little bit, which means that their weight is falling behind the ischial tuberosities or sits bones. When that happens, the support no longer comes through the skeletal system. It's cast upon, the weight is cast upon the ligaments and the connective tissue and the musculature.
Mm-hmm.
What you should, if you can get a partner, you'll feel this. Or if this is without a partner, you can do it this way. It's a little subtler, but most people can feel what you have to do generally to get on your sits bones is to tip the front of your pelvis down a little bit, which will create a little bit more arch in your back, which is the natural lumbar curve that belongs there. Once you've done that, take a full breath in. It should feel like the breath flows more easily or there's more room for the breath,
mm-hmm.
than if you go back to sitting with your weight more back. You let your pelvis drop down and you lose your lumbar curve, and then take a full breath. Generally, most people experience it's either harder to get the full breath in and or there's less space for it to fill. The other thing is you want your pelvis to be at or slightly above the level of your knees. If
okay.
your knees are higher, it's going to be too much work to sit with that lumbar curve in place.
Richard, we're coming up on just a few seconds left in our segment.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please once again share your contact information with our listening audience before we have to sign off this morning?
Gladly. My business is Balance Rolfing and Massage. You can contact me on the web at nybalance.com or call me at 845-255-3584.
Thank you so much. And listeners, we've had the pleasure of having Richard Condon, licensed massage therapist and certified Rolfer, with us this morning, giving us some great information.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much. And there is so much more information to gain from you. Hopefully you'll come back and chat with me again in the near future, Richard.
I'd love to.
Okay. Listeners, thank you again for staying tuned in with us here at WFYT Blog Talk Radio, 33 million listeners worldwide. And before we sign off, I'd like to leave you with this. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And until the next time, please smile and enjoy this day. Richard, again, thank you for your time, and I look forward to speaking with you again. Enjoy and be safe over this holiday season.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you a lot. Bye-bye. Bye, global community.